Didn't that feel good this morning? Sunshine. I'm praying it will still be shining when we leave here. I'm sure it will be. Why don't you, just as the youth go, if you've got youth, the youth are going to go out to their room. Just stretch your hand as they go out towards them. Lord, we thank you for our youth. We bless them. Lord, we pray that they would have God encounters. We pray that they would know you in a way that will change this world, and that you would fill them, and that they would be your witnesses wherever their feet should tread. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Great. Well, we're having a little look at the healings of Jesus. We, over the last little while, we've been pressing into healing. We're seeing some breakthroughs, but I really believe the Holy Spirit has way more for us. So the best place to look at healing is Jesus. Jesus is the great physician. And often when Jesus is talking or praying for the sick, in fact, Jesus rarely prays for the sick. He commands the sick to be well. And he says, your faith has healed you. You know, as is your faith, so are you healed. And he speaks a declaration over people's lives. And what I want to talk a little bit about this morning is one of the ways that sometimes our faith is attacked. That our faith in God, our assurance in God comes under attack. And it comes under attack when people mock us for what we believe. So if you've got a Bible, find Matthew chapter 9. I think I gave the wrong verses first service, so let's see if we can get the right one. Yeah, verse 18. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. You got it? Why don't you stand? This is the word of the Lord. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him. Just press pause. While he spoke what things to him? Well, it's the few verses before. He says, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So what this story is following on from what he's just taught. I'm going to teach you some new things. Okay, and the second thing I want you to see, he worships him. So the man that has come to Jesus worships him. Sometimes people have a bit of problem with the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. So when people come to Jesus, he allows them to worship. When people come to the apostles and they worship them, they go, no, you mustn't do that. We're only men like you. But when they come to Jesus, he allows them to worship. Okay, right, keep going. Let's keep going. My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. There's great faith here, but there's going to be an interruption. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I'll be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. Amen. Take a seat. Just think about that for a moment. Jesus has been invited by this ruler to his daughter is sick. And on the way to heal her, a woman interrupts everything. And the ruler could have easily thought, oh no, what if Jesus runs out of healing? And you know, sometimes I hear that. Sometimes people don't come forward for prayer. They go, well, there's probably people that are better deserving than me. And I want them to get healed. As if that somehow Jesus doesn't have enough healing. He has enough for us all, right? He's not short of his healing power. Anyway, so what happens is Jesus stops and this woman is healed. And if you read this story in Luke's gospel, that Luke says it's because he stopped to care for this woman, the little girl dies. So they come to Jesus and they go, oh, don't worry, she's dead, it's too late. And Jesus says to the ruler, do not be afraid, just believe. Do not be afraid, just believe. And one of the things that is anti-faith is fear. And Jesus again says, do not fear, just believe. Faith is important. And anyway, so Jesus arrives, and by this time the girl has died, and there's loads of noise, and they're wailing and they're screaming and they're playing all the instruments because there's this wake going on. And he comes in and says, she's just asleep. And they mock him. The Son of God has just walked in and they start to mock him. They ridicule him. You don't even know when someone's dead. Yeah, because he said she's asleep. She's not asleep, she's dead. We know more than you. We know a dead person when we see a dead person. And this person's dead. So Jesus puts them all out, takes her by the hand and says, wake up. And she rises. That's the story we want to talk about this morning. You see, the tragedy is that they couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. So Jesus arrives and he does a number of things. Firstly, he makes room for a miracle. So one of the things I want you to hear this morning is make room for God to move in your life. Make room for his miraculous power in your life. You see, what he's been saying about new wine is you've got to leave this place of unbelief and step into a place of new wine, new belief. This is a new season. This is a new agreement. You've got to move your thinking. But the people at the wake can't. They can't make the move, so their default position is to mock Jesus because it's easier to mock than believe. You know, when we're mocked for our faith, I don't know if you've ever been mocked for your faith, one or two things can happen. Firstly, we feel embarrassed and we feel small and sometimes we start to draw back. That's exactly what the devil wants. Or as people mock, something can go off inside us and even more faith can rise up and we get to see a miracle. Do you know, a few hundred years ago in the 17th and 18th centuries, there was a change in thinking. And we call it the Enlightenment. And there's central to Enlightenment thought was the celebration of reason. And the way mankind understands the universe and improves his own condition. And then there was this goal of rational humanity. And the high water marks was knowledge, freedom, and happiness. You know, heard those ones? Along with this, we experienced a scientific revolution. Now, not all of this is bad, but one of the things that slowly crept in to thought was reason over faith. There was a worldview shift. Now, I also want you to understand that in this period, we have seen some of the mightiest moves of God this earth has seen. But alongside this was a dominion of reason and a growing wisdom of mankind. And then in this season of enlightenment, whenever the church has believed God, she's prospered. And we call those times revival, but they're meant to be the norm. The church is meant to live in the belief and the faith of what God does. Now, in the 20th century, we saw some incredible advances in science and medicine, and that there was a belief that because of these advances, the world would be transformed. And it has been to a degree. But in the 21st century, something really quite interesting is happening. Our desire for understanding has moved beyond science and God. So science came in front of God, and now our understanding is moving beyond science. So where we used to teach in our schools, a man is a man and a woman is a woman, now you can choose what you want to be, because we now know better than not only God, we know better than science. Did you know in Scotland, it is possible that, I think it's more likely that you would get arrested for saying a man is a man than if you broke into someone's house, assaulted them, and stole all their belongings. The world has gone mad. This is the fruit of enlightenment, which is why Paul says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Now, why am I saying all this? Well, firstly, I want you to see the madness of sin. But secondly, I want you to see how crazy it goes when the mocker comes and mocks faith. So, lots of you have given your life to Jesus recently. And often the first thing that happens, you know, you tell people, I gave my life to Jesus, is they mock. You know, what have you done that for? I remember when I became a Christian, I was just a 13-year-old kid. And I remember telling all my friends, they're going, Steve, why? You used to be one of us. You know, what have you done this? You're a God basher now. And all I'd done was I'd put my faith in Jesus, the one who died on the cross for my sin, who had forgiven me. Do you know, if I'd have gone to them and said, well, I'm following this guru who's taking me to India and we're going to traipse around India naked, smoking pot and listening to demons, they'd have gone, cool. But instead, I came to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. I came to the God who is judge of all, to just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant by his blood. And they mock. And the mocker laughs at you. You believe what? Yet something happens. The Holy Spirit starts to, you know, when you feel that mocking coming, it starts to bubble up inside. The mocker mocks, but faith arises inside of you. Oh, how about this one? You give 10% of your income to God. We've just taken up our offering. You are crazy. That's your money to make you happy. You worked hard for it. You're giving away. Why would you give it to God? What could God do with it? Let me give you some worldly wisdom. Why don't you put it in the national lottery? You could become rich. At odds of 45 million to one, I checked. That's the world's wisdom. Yet the God of heaven says, bring your first fruits to me and I will open up the floodgates of heaven as you invest the 90%. Who's the foolish one? Or how about this one? You pray for the sick. Are you mad? We've got doctors now, a health service. No one needs to be sick. Just lift up the phone and call your doctor. You tried doing that recently? Do you know we have 5 million people off work sick in this country? There's 7.7 million people waiting to be healed by doctors. In this story, the woman that Jesus stopped, Luke says she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You see, I believe God heals. His name is Rapha, and by his stripes you are healed. That's my Bible. That's my God. That's what we're pushing in. And you know what? When they mock Jesus, he pushes them out. He removes them because he believes God more than the voices of the world. They mock that the creator of the earth heals and the attack comes. Now, Jesus didn't feel this, but sometimes we do. We feel insecure. That insecurity is coming from demons. When they mock, Jesus puts them out. He removes himself from the mockery. We have a choice of faith. When the mocking comes, we can choose to believe. Do you know when David goes to fight Goliath? I've been reading through the Old Testament. I just love it. This isn't the king, okay? This isn't King David. This is little shepherd boy David. And he goes out to fight Goliath. And Goliath, as he goes out, he says, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? What are you sending this child out? And he starts to mock David. This is how David answers him. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the earth will know there is a God in Israel. And he goes on and says, you're going to lose your head by my sword. I'm going to cut it off. And as a kid, I remember the story where they cut his head off and he carries his head in. We need some more heads cut off. Have you read the Bible? Oh, what about Elisha? Elisha is just journeying along the road and some kids start mocking him. Do you ever get mocked by kids? Do you know, Julia and I, just last week, we were walking across the road with the dog and apparently we were walking across too slowly. So this kid, and he is a kid because he's about 40 years younger than me, driving a lawnmower, stops, winds down his window and starts swearing at us because we were in his way. Do you know what happens when that happens to Elisha? They call him Baldy. Baldy, no comments. All right. Baldy, Baldy. He curses them and then two bears come and maul 42 of the youth. Yes! We need more bears. I don't know how many bears are around Leicester. But there's something of, oh, somebody mocked me. I've just got to love them and just, you know, just stroke them and just, what? I loved that story as a teenager. Memorized it. Or Nehemiah, when he's building the wall. After they've been in exile and they're rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem and Sanballat and Tobiah come and they start to mock the workers. This is what they say. If a fox climbs on their wall, it will fall over. What are you feeble Jews doing? You know, they might say, what are you feeble people doing at Cromer Church? We might be feeble, but we serve the one who's mighty. You know, if you're being mocked by your friends, your family, your colleagues, you're about to see a miracle. You see, they fear your faith because your faith means the downfall of everything they're trying to hold on to. You see, Goliath is brought down by a single stone from a shepherd boy. Elisha refused to be mocked, and the wall of Jerusalem is rebuilt in 52 days. That's a miracle. And for Jesus, the girl might just as well have been asleep because all he says is wake up and she comes back to life. That is the God we serve. And if someone is mocking your faith, it is demons speaking through them, trying to make you feel insecure, to feel foolish, to feel pathetic. It's the devil. But this is what my Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are mighty. And then he also says this, Romans 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Your faith pleases God. You know, a couple of weeks ago, a couple drove 2 hours because they heard we were praying for the sick. So they drove 2 hours to come here to receive healing prayer. The Lord loves your faith. You see, you have put your trust in the living God. Do you understand there is nothing out there for people to believe in? You know, we believe that we were created for the glory of God. The people of the world are told to believe they're an accident. There was an explosion and they're just some cosmic accident. We believe that we were formed in the womb and are wonderfully made. God does not make mistakes. The world believes that life in the womb is only real if it's convenient. We believe that before the creation of the world, God had a plan and a destiny planned out for every single one of us. In the world you're told, you have to put up with the hand you're dealt and make the best of it. See, even in the church, sometimes we're mocked. All you people do is worship God. You need to get respectable. Become an influencer. That's the in phrase at the moment. Become an influencer. If you're on your knees all the time, no one is going to take you seriously. Paul writes this, there is none who understands and there is none who seeks after God. The thing is, there is now. You. Us. We're seeking the Lord. His presence is with us. He's chosen the weak things of the world. Us. We weren't anything, but now we're his people. Now, I'm not saying, you know, exit the world. We must be in the world. But when they mock, when we feel insecure, remember who you are. Let faith start to arise. Because what they believe is far more ridiculous. It is the world who's been sold a lie. And we get to call them home to truth. I was in Sainsbury's last week, and I walked in, and the security guard, it was early on, so there weren't many people in the store, but there were a few people. I was getting a key cut. And the security guard said to me, do you remember the 1990s? He called across the store to me. And I don't know why he thought I would, but I said, yeah. He said, do you remember the world was going to come to an end, the 2000 bug? And I said, yeah, it didn't, did it? He says, no, I'm just telling this guy. He thinks the world is going to come to an end. And I said, well, I'm a Christian. I don't think the world is going to come to an end until Jesus returns. He says, you're a what? I said, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus is coming back. He came the first time and he lived and he died for my sin. He's come into my life and I believe he's coming back and he's going to deal with this problem. And then this always happens because he starts telling me what he believes, which is the biggest load of nonsense. I mean, he says, well, I kind of believe. I mean, I'm not putting him down. I mean, we were talking. We were just shouting across the store at each other. It was perfectly public. And he said, well, I believe in lots of gods. And there's a big kind of soup of God. And, you know, wherever you go, God is. And we're going to become. And I just said, are they all coming back? There's only one coming back. There's only one that's come, Emmanuel, Jesus. And there's only one that's coming back, Jesus. He's coming back to get his bride. He's coming back to get the church. And I keep watching the news. I just know his return is closer today than it was last week. Okay, I mustn't get distracted. What am I saying? This morning, what I'm saying to you is miracles often start in worship. They start when we come into the presence of God. Sometimes there is an interruption to our miracle because it looks like Jesus is doing something somewhere else. Don't worry, Jesus always has more than enough healing. When you are mocked, understand that they fear something that you believe. Okay, what you believe is it will turn their life upside down or right side up because it has changed your life. Step away from the ridicule and step towards the Holy Spirit. Move your heart towards the Holy Spirit. Remember, without faith, you cannot please God. It is your faith that Jesus loves and the mockers hate. And you cannot raise the dead unless you put the mockers out. And I want you to know, every time I get a chance to raise the dead, I try. I haven't seen the dead raised yet. The last time I went with the doctor and they wouldn't let us in the morgue, so we had to call through the morgue door. Come out! Hasn't worked yet. But I'm not going to stop doing it because I'm going to get one. All right, because the command of Jesus was to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, and raise the dead. So we need to do that. But somehow we've got all respectable. So if you're mocked this week, rejoice. Thank you so much for making fun of me. I know I have a miracle that's very close now. And you know, when Jesus takes that girl by the hand and she raises up, the report about him goes all over the land. And what the church needs today is not more understanding. We need to seek God and to seek his ways, and then we will be his people, walking in his paths, seeing his power. I'm done. Why don't you stand up?